Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and I want you to look at Matthew chapter 26. I won't be long this morning. We have made a promise to you for every year that we've had a service on Thanksgiving morning that we would certainly have you out by 10, and so we'll honor that with the Lord's help. But I do want to share just a few thoughts with you from God's Word, starting in Matthew 26. And of course, Matthew 26 gives us the details, or at least some of the details, of what went on that last night that Jesus was with his disciples right before he was betrayed, and of course, as he instituted what we would call the Lord's table. Matthew 26, and we'll start with verse 26. Matthew 26 and verse 26. The Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" I want us to focus on verse 28. Please notice what it says there. "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I had a different message scheduled for this morning, and the Lord, I believe, changed my heart and my mind about it when preparing for this morning. And this message that I'll give to you now, or some thoughts that I will give you, are thoughts that came to me while I was preparing for Sunday school. Just this last week, we went over the New Covenant, and I thought I would share with you some of the things that the Word of God says about that new covenant, and talk to you about the importance of what we would call the New Testament. What is the new covenant? Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your Word. Lord, I thank you for giving us the New Testament. I thank you, dear Lord, that we have it. Lord, that we can have salvation through it. Lord, you are good, gracious, kind, long-suffering, merciful. We give you glory and praise because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think about the Lord's table, we are remembering the Lord's death. Remembering the Lord's death, and also we are remembering what he gave for us that we might be saved. As Jesus was instituting this Lord's table, he mentioned to the disciples as they were to drink of that cup, that that cup was the blood of the New Testament. When you hear the word testament, you ought to think of the word covenant. They're really one and the same. Testament is the modern or more modern New Testament word for covenant, which is found in the Old Testament. The word covenant basically means a cutting, and that has to do with the old practice in Abraham's day, for instance, where when two parties would make a covenant, they would take an animal, they would sacrifice it, they would split it in two, and the two individuals or parties would walk between that animal that had been split, and they would promise one another whatever their part of the covenant was. And so we are told that as Jesus was giving this juice to his disciples, that he said to them, "This is the blood of the New Testament." Well, the reason that that's important is he was pointing back to the Old Testament or Old Covenant. We don't have time to get into it, but I would encourage you to read Exodus 19 and 20, and then also the first little bit of Deuteronomy. And what you'll find in there is what the Old Covenant was. And if I could sum it up, it was this. God said to the children of Israel when they were at Mount Sinai, had just left Egypt, he told them that he would be their God, and that if they would obey his laws, think 10 commandments, but there were much more than just the 10. The 10 were really a summary. Okay, but think the Ten Commandments, if they would obey his laws and keep his statutes, that they would be his people and that they would then be blessed by him. So they had a part to do, to obey, and then God would be their God and would bless them. God would give them something based on their obedience. Now, you and I know here, I'm trusting everyone here understands, that plan had a problem from the beginning. Now, don't get me wrong, God was not confused, God was not mistaken, he knew what he was doing when he instituted the plan. And yet, the truth of the matter is,
It had a weakness from the beginning. The weakness was not on God's side, it was on our side. Because we are sinners, and there is not a one of us that has kept the law. The Bible puts it this way, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's seen in our inability to obey the law. So the old covenant was, you obey my commandments, I'll be your God, you'll be my people, and I'll bless you. Well, on our part as humankind, we failed miserably. And so as Jesus is here at that in that upper room with his disciples, and he's instituting this Lord's table to them, he says to them as they drink this juice, he says, this is the blood of the New Testament. He mentions there that there is a new covenant that is especially important because the old covenant, by the way, as we mentioned before, didn't work. It didn't save a single soul. There was a need for a new covenant, which leads us now to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, we find in verse 31, a verse in God's word that ought to stand out to us, ought to be one of our favorite verses that we find, especially in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Notice what God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says many years before Christ was born. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The prophet Jeremiah, led by God to do so, prophesied that there was coming a day when God would institute a new covenant. Now remember, the old covenant was, if you obey my laws, you'll be my people and I'll bless you. When God, through the prophet Jeremiah, prophesies of a new covenant, he says, this new covenant's not going to be like the old one. He says, in this new covenant, I'm going to write my laws in your heart, and every one of you will know me, will have a relationship, is what he's saying there. And I will be your God, you'll be my people, and I will forgive your iniquity and your sin. Now, a couple things I would point out to you. Number one, the new covenant sounds a whole lot better, doesn't it? Amen. There is one shy amen. I appreciate that. Sounds a whole lot better. Aren't you glad we're not at Mount Sinai with the thunderings and the lightnings and the fire and the smoke and the fear of God and the you have to obey my law or else? Boy, I'm glad we're not there. The new covenant sounds a lot better. The other thing I would point out to you is this. In the old covenant, man had a part. And that's where the weakness was. When God instituted the new covenant, man has no part. You see, in a covenant, normally, each party would have a part. Maybe you would sell a piece of land and there would be a covenant written up and I will pay X amount of dollars and you will give me such and such a piece of land. Each party would have a part. But when God instituted the new covenant, because of the weakness of you and me, God said this. Now, I'm putting my words in his mouth. Forgive me for that. But here's basically what he was saying with that new covenant. You don't have any part that you have to do. I will take care of it all. And that's exactly what he did. So that now you and I get to have forgiveness of sins. We get to have God as our God. And he did it all. And this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for the new covenant. I hope you are as well. I'm thankful that this new covenant means that God has taken salvation into his own hands because I couldn't do it. Because any part he would give me, I would fail. So he took it into his own hands and gave me salvation by his grace. Now, you might say, but Pastor, does that mean that When we get saved now, we're under grace, therefore we live however we want. Oh no, Jeremiah handled that as well. We won't look at the verse again, but did you notice, and I would encourage you to read through it again later on your own, did you notice that God said through Jeremiah, I will write my laws in your heart? Which means that God's laws are still going to be obeyed. But this time God has written them on my heart. See, I don't need to anymore check a list of to-dos and to-not-dos anymore. I don't have to check off boxes. Now I am to obey God from the heart. I'm to do what He wants me to do because I love Him, because He loves me, and because I know exactly what He wants. I don't need anyone to tell me what God wants. I have it in His Word and the Spirit of God within me. Now, if I don't do right, He'll chastise me. We talked about that. He'll get the paddle out. He'll spank me in love, kindness, and grace because He wants to see me do right and do well. What a great New Testament we have. And we just remembered it right here today. And I hope that, like me, you are thankful for it.